Recorded live.
Welcome back, everybody, to Ronnie's on Radio, and I have the extreme pleasure to have the return of the Southeast Film Association. It's a group of folks that don't need Hollywood. They are going to make their films fantastic films without the Hollywood system, and they are located in the southeastern U.S., and they're from all over, and we have the founder and the co-founder on the show, and I want to introduce them first. That's Chuck Falau and Bryn Pettengill. Just go ahead and say hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
How's it going? Very good, very good. Now, you guys are heading up this production. It's called 6 Degrees of Genre.
Well, the project's called Of Genre. The first movie in a series is called 6 Degrees of Desperation.
Gotcha. If you could kind of, you know, between you, Chuck, and Bryn, if you could give us kind of a tag team explanation of what this project is and then what the first film is all about, that would be great.
And Chuck, you want to start?
Sure. Actually, basically what we were doing is when we started this project, it kind of came out of the Southeast Film Association. We were trying to figure out a way. We were trying to figure out a way to have everybody be able to showcase all their talents, exactly what they could do. And so we came up with the idea of making a project that would allow everybody to film a segment and put it all into one movie.
Okay.
And since we know everybody's strengths are different, we couldn't limit it to one genre. So we're talking about, well, how are we going to write a script with a whole bunch of different genres, and everybody kind of gets to write their own scene. So we decided to get like a 6 degrees of separation, or 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, and we renamed the script 6 degrees of Desperation, made it a blackmailing ring wherein our lead character, Peter, blackmails a minister who blackmails a judge who blackmails a therapist who blackmails, and it keeps going and going. And everybody who gets blackmailed is in a different state with a different film team. They get to write their own scene, and the calls connect the movie together.
That's incredible. Okay.
Kind of in reality, it's a project that is actually called, I know it gets confusing, the project's called 6 Degrees of Genre. And 6 Degrees of Desperation is the first film to come out of 6 Degrees of Genre. Okay. We actually are hoping to do this again after this one's completed.
Okay. Now, what are the different elements in this? There's a horror part.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's teen angst. Is that correct?
Yeah, the Atlanta team is shooting teen angst.
Okay. And then there's suspense.
Yep.
Okay. And that's in Columbia, South Carolina.
That's a Chuck question.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, I apologize. It sounds like I hear a lot of feedback. Sounds like someone's breaking up. But basically, there's the six segments. We've got a team in Columbia, South Carolina, who's filming horror and suspense. They're actually the second team on horror and the first team on suspense. Then we've got a team up in Greenville, South Carolina, that's filming martial arts. We've got a team down in Charleston, South Carolina, that's filming martial arts. We've got a team in Tampa Bay that's filming horror. We've got a team in Raleigh that's filming sci-fi. We have a team in Puerto Rico that's probably doing one of the most unique ones. It's actually a fantasy/Telemundo type of deal. And each team will send in their segments when they're done, and we'll have an independent panel select which ones actually belong in the film. Bryn and I are filming the first part and the second part, which are teen angst. She's basically handling the first half of the film, and I'm handling the last half of the film. So,
okay.
I know it sounds complicated, and trust me, it was difficult to put together to begin with. I know Bryn did a lot of hard work on it.
He's going to
get it. Let's kind of I'm going to ask some overview questions, and then we're going to jump in with members of the cast and crew. You mentioned how difficult it was to put this whole thing together. I mean, did you guys get on a conference call, email back and forth? How in the world did you kind of build teams
Well, we fielded teams from the Southeast Film Association members who were already subscribed. It's a free membership. And after we came up with the idea, just like, well, how are we going to get people to do this? And I was like, e-blast. So we e-blasted everybody and said, hey, we're working on a project. Who wants to direct? And then we basically let the directors build their teams. And we had an overwhelming response to the point that we had to put people on the back burner and say, join us for the second movie.
Okay. All right. So, so you have a number of people all over taking care of all the different scenes. And, you know, you keep in touch that way. It's an incredible project to do, you know, in so many different places. I mean, it's tough to do one team in one place, getting everybody together. But to do it all over the place, I mean, that's really monumental. So
yeah, we actually have been truly, truly fortunate that we've got some really strong people working on these segments. The way we, to just kind of clarify a little bit, the way we set it up, it's almost like you build a cell. You say, who wants to handle this in this area? One person says, I do, and then it's their job to go out, cast, crew, direct, write, the whole nine. And they basically just report back to us on their progress. We give them a deadline to when it has to be turned in. And like I said, we have been truly, truly fortunate that everybody that we've got working on this project has been very responsive. They keep in contact with us, which I think is a key thing, is the communication piece on it. But yeah, it's been it was quite challenging the first couple of days because there's that unsurety as if, whether or not it's going to work, but once it got rolling, I don't think there was any stopping it.
Okay, one more quick plug, and then we'll jump in. Is your website to get involved is the sefilmclub.com.
Correct.
So if any of you are in the Southeast area or actually anywhere that really wants to help this group out, this is a fantastic group, very, very talented people. If you think it's just two knuckleheads with a handy cam running around, videotaping Mentos things exploding. You're totally out of line.
I do want to videotape Chan's water bottle rocket at some point and put it on YouTube.
this team is a well-rounded, very talented team of writers, actors, directors, filmmakers of every part of the process. And, I mean, I've been truly blown away with just the talent that I've seen, you know, doing shows with these folks. They're incredible folks. So, okay, Chuck, if you could take it from here, why don't you kind of introduce some folks from the cast and the crew, and let's just kind of wind our way through this team.
Okay, no problem. Basically, what I'll do is I'll just kind of talk, you know, call them out, and then, you know, have you ask them any questions you want to ask them. Let's start off with Laura Gilreath, who is playing Sally Johnson in the film. She was probably the first solid person that we cast as far as, you know, kind of owning the role. So, you know, Laura, if you'll introduce yourself and tell them a little bit about, you know, what your involvement is.
Okay. Hey, I'm Laura Gilreath. And I'm playing the role of Sally Johnson. And Sally is Peter Bacon's love interest. She is the president of the science club and is very confident in herself when she's with Peter. But whenever she gets around Greg, the football star who she's in love with, or his girlfriend Jennifer, she gets really nervous. What else should I tell you?
Well, that's fine. Now, what style is the section of the film that you are filming?
Oh, the teen angst section.
Okay, teen angst. Very good.
Yeah.
What is it like to, you know, obviously, you know, when you were in school, you probably were in some plays and did some things like that, but how different is it to actually be on a set with folks that are around your own age to actually shoot a film? What's that like?
To be around folks my own age in what? I'm sorry?
Well, to be actually shooting a film, you know, I mean, did you do plays in school or?
Yes, in college. I graduated from college.
Okay, gotcha.
And I played I did film and theater there.
Okay.
And but this is the first film that I've been a part of since I graduated. I graduated in May. And I've really, really enjoyed it a lot. It's the first professional work that I've done. And it's just, it's really exciting. I don't know. I really enjoyed working with Chandler, who plays Peter. And it's interesting because he's 15 and I'm 23, and we're both playing 18-year-olds. And, you know, hopefully I look about his age.
Now, what kind of a what kind of a crew is it? I mean, do you have every separate person to do like makeup and all this kind of stuff, or do people just kind of fill in wherever they're needed?
Well, we supply our own wardrobe, and like I did my own makeup, but then there was a lady on set who helped like powder our noses whenever we got like shiny and such. But it's mostly we supply our own outfits for each scene and such. So
very good. A funny story from the set. Just one. Or two.
A funny story?
Yeah.
Well, we had a really good time, or at least I had a really good time filming the chemistry test scene. Like we were all in the chem lab and we had to my character, Sally Johnson, had to bite off a pencil eraser because she was, you know, flirting with Greg, who was right next to her. And so, of course, she was really nervous and was biting off the end of the pencil to be very seductive. And in doing that, the pencil eraser actually went into her mouth, and I would spit it out. And there was one point where just a whole glob of saliva just came out on the paper, and poor Greg had to be right there. Jason, I hope he didn't get too wet, but pretty disgusting. But it was really fun. So
you got to watch that pencil eraser now. No, you can't swallow it or anything. Okay. Thanks so much. Chuck, any more questions from Laura?
No, I just want to say that we put all of their auditions on the website, and you know, if you go and you watch hers, I actually titled hers "The Evolution of Sally Johnson" because she walked in and started to kind of get into the character as it went, and by the end of it, we had her do an improv, and you know, Brent and I just both looked at each other and said, "Yeah, that's our Sally Johnson." So, I think she's got a brilliant career ahead of her, and I look forward to watching it and possibly even working with her again in the future after this one's over. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say if you want me to segue into the next person, I was just going to go ahead and pull Chan in.
Do that.
Okay. Chandler is playing our main character, Peter Bacon. He came in and blew us away in the auditions. We had a real good feeling about him. And after seeing him on set and see him actually in the character, I think we made a very, very good choice. So, Chan, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and talk a little bit.
All right. I am Chandler Darby. And I play Peter Bacon. Peter is, well, he's cocky and confident, and he's sort of like a Ferris Bueller type, except he's not as popular as Ferris Bueller.
Okay.
But he's very, he likes to spread rumors and have fun with that kind of stuff. And the love of his life is Sally Johnson, and he figured that out when he was in the 7th grade. And from there on, he was head over heels.
Yeah.
And they're best friends, so they can talk about anything. And they have a lot of, they're really close, they can talk about anything. And then there's Greg, who I'm pretty jealous of because he attracts Sally's attention. So, yeah, through the whole thing, I try to create these rumors to... but I really do... my character really does love Sally, so he... Even though he wants her to like him, he'll do anything to... He just wants her to be happy, so he tries to, you know, get her together with Greg so that she can have the prom of her dreams.
Okay, now Chandler, how did you, what do you base your emotions on when you're doing the scene with Laura? I mean, do you just pull from personal experience? How do you start to kind of build that emotion into the scene?
Well, yeah, there's definitely personal experience that you throw into that. But I think if you really get into this Peter character, you feel what he's feeling. And if you really get into the scene, the emotions, they start to come up, you know? But, yes, it helps. Definitely pull from experience.
Now, Laura, one more question for you.
Yes.
Did you have to go back to high school to kind of get those feelings for the scenes that you were shooting? Or, you know, is it just something that just kind of sticks with you?
Well, I was able to, I related a lot to Sally Johnson when Chuck was talking about how Sally Johnson, quote-unquote, evolved throughout the audition period. Like, I found out more information about her, which helped me relate even more. Like, I was in science club and stuff like that. And so, actually, I did, when I was thinking about how I feel about Greg, I went back to a time when I was in high school and I was in love with this guy who was like a bassist in a band. And I went up to him and I said, I'll say what I said. I was like, hey, the other night I had a dream about you, and in my dream, you were my boyfriend. So I was thinking, why don't we make my dreams come true? And I mean, I was being, you know, silly, but still, I was hoping he would notice me in that. And I used the way I felt so nervous and flirty around him, I used that about, like, Greg and that kind of thing. So, yes, I do go back to those high school times.
Yep.
So.
Now, Chandler.
Yes.
How do you – the toughest thing I always had to do was memorize lines. So how far do you memorize the lines? Is it when you guys shoot a scene, is it a full scene or is it like, you know, portions of the scene?
Well, I mean, there are some scenes that are long and there's lots of dialogue, but in this script, there is a lot of dialogue. And Bryn told me not to freak out when I read the script, but no, it's different than theater. You've got to memorize everything and you've got to know when, you know, you have to have the whole script memorized. But for film, you know, you can take it scene at a time and really work on one scene and get that one scene down, and then whatever dialogue's in the scene, you know, it goes scene at a time. So it's not as hard as, it's not as crazy as some may think.
Do you go with, I mean, are you the kind of person that can memorize all the lines, or do you kind of go with the emotion of it and then maybe ad lib here and there based on how you feel?
Well, I definitely when I get a script, I definitely first thing is you know I read through the entire script and sort of get a feel of what I do with the lines, and then. Once I read through it a few times, feel of, you know, the entire script, and I think the lines come a lot easier. And yeah, sometimes improv will come up, but like, yeah, I can memorize stuff pretty fast, so I'll make sure I have the whole script.
Let me tell you something about Chan. He had one day, to memorize like four monologues for the upcoming shoot. And he had them down verbatim. I mean, not missing a syllable. And I was actually concerned. I was like, oh, I didn't give him enough time to memorize. And at rehearsal, he said, how long do I have? And I was like, a day. And he goes, oh, day's all I need. And I was like, yeah, right. We show up on the set. He knows the script better than me, and I wrote it. It was amazing.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you know, sound like, well, of course, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I mean, I think Chan has done a fantastic job as Peter. I'm very impressed with him. You know, not, this isn't a knock, but to be 15 and to have the instincts that he has for this character are it's pretty impressive. And I don't envy him because this particular character does have a lot of long monologues, and they're tricky. You know, I think Bryn tried to write a lot of wordplay into each one of them. And so they're not just, you know, straight monotone monologues. They have a lot of little nooks and crannies in them, and he's done a fantastic job with them. So, you know, if I can give him kudos in any way, shape, or form, I'll give him kudos for that.
Fantastic. Okay. All right, Chuck, let's move on to the next one.
Hey, let's go ahead and get
yeah.
Is it all right to let's hit Jason and then Hawk?
Sure.
Yeah, I was actually going to pass it to you anyways.
Okay. So let's get Jason on right now since he's our next supporting, and let's let him talk about Greg Biff a little bit. Are you there, Jason?
Yeah, I'm here. You got me?
How's it going, man?
It's going great.
Good. So what do you think about the Greg Bishop character? Can you relate to him at all?
Well, I was kind of a geek in high school, so I can relate to him in the fact that I hated his guts. But but yeah, you know, it's a fun character to play. I got out of high school, I got a little bit of muscles, and now I can pull it off. So there you go.
So what is the Greg Bishop character? How would you define your own character in this movie?
He's a nice guy. He's the head of the football team. He's probably the quarterback. So he's got like a lot of pressures with, you know, he's got to date the popular girls and hang out with the popular people. But as the story progresses, you see that he's just a, you know, regular guy like everybody else, and he's a cool guy. And it's a fun character to play too.
Yeah. And how old are you, if you don't mind my asking? How
24.
Old are you really? You're 24?
Yeah.
24, and Greg is 18. Is it weird to have to go back and be your 18-year-old self again?
It's been a long time since I've been in high school, that's for sure. So as long as I'm not too close to the extras that were all like 11 years old, then I should be okay. I should be able to pull it off. Right up on the makeup. But no, it's kind of cool to go back and be cool for a little while, you know? Since I never got to do that back when I was in high school.
That's cool. So I just want to give mad props to Jason, who is staying with friends in Atlanta so he can shoot this film. He actually lives in Tennessee. And so I just love that he's like, hey, I got a part, I'm going to hang around. And that's just so awesome of him to do that for us.
This is the actor life. That's when you hang out and you don't pay rent and you just relax all day long.
Until you have to shoot, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, cool. Chuck, do you have any questions for Jason or anything you want to bring out about his character?
No. again, he's another guy who I think has done very, very well with the character. I mean, he seems like a very smart guy. So, you know, I've often wondered how hard it is to play dumb, but he seems to be doing a very good job.
I think Chuck is the only guy that could get away with saying that kind of thing.
Oh, come on now, I didn't mean it in a mean way. I mean,
I know that.
One other quick thing I want to say about Jason is he came in on the second day of auditions, and he had pre-sent us through email his headshot. And Chuck got a hold of the headshot first and forwarded it to me and said, oh, my God, I hope this guy can act. And I looked at his headshot, and I was like, I agree. And then we didn't see him the first day, and we were bummed. We were like, gosh, why didn't he come out and audition for Greg? Well, then he shows up the second day and says, I'm here to audition for Quaker State. And I was like, no, here's lines for Greg. Because I looked at him, and I'm like, you've got Greg written all over you. So I think we let you read, like, four lines for Quaker State. And I was like, okay, go ahead and change scenes. You need to read Greg now. And we cast him that same day. It was just 100% in our minds. We were like, that's Greg.
I try to show up and act like an idiot in every audition, and then just luckily I've been fortunate enough to get some stuff. So
cool. Well, thanks a lot, Jason. We really love having you in the cast. Actually, I forgot that we do have Jennifer on the line. So let's go to Jennifer since she's our second supporting actress, and then we'll head over to Hawk. But Jennifer there?
Yep. Hi.
Hey. How's it going?
I'm doing okay. How is everybody?
Wonderful. Thank you. Are you looking forward to your first real weekend of shooting?
Yes. I'm very excited. I'm actually kind of jealous because I've been seeing, you know, on the blog and on YouTube the videos of you guys filming, and I'm missing out, man. I'm very excited about it, though.
Cool. You were another one that it seems like almost everybody who walked in owned their characters from the beginning. But like Chuck said in the last interview, Jennifer just owned it. She walked in and we were like, wow, that's Jennifer. It's just how we pictured her. Did you have that confidence going into the audition, or did you have doubts because of your age or anything like that?
I had a little bit of doubt because of my age, because actually I didn't know if I should read for Sally actually or for Jennifer, because I'm a nerd by heart, as it seems as a lot of my fellow cast members are, as they say themselves, not by what I say, but so actually I tried to audition for both just to see what the heck, why not, and I don't know, just I guess got it from there and kept reading for Jennifer, and my name is Jennifer, so I guess that kind of put me right into it, so that kind of helped.
Yeah, we really put Jennifer through the ringer at auditions. We held her back to read against every single person that we were considering for every single role. I kept letting the other girls go, and I would say, but Jennifer, wait, can you come back? We need you for another scene. And she's like, oh, yeah, great. And she would come back and sit down. And I don't know if Chuck knew what I was doing at first, but I just wanted to see her read against everybody. And then when she walked out, we were like, well, Jennifer's cast. So that was awesome. Thanks for hanging around that day.
You know, I'll say something else about that particular character as well. Much like Peter's, I'd probably say she's got the second most difficult dialogue in the film, because there's a device in it where she has. You like that? Second most difficult? You like that? she's got these what do you call them, Brandon? You wrote them. I mean,
it's text lingoing language.
Right. And she speaks it out loud, and there's no way I could do it. So I'll just go ahead and say, look for that. I mean, that's going to be very difficult. But so far, you know, even in her audition, she picked it up right away. So
yeah, she about was the only one who really understood why she was saying all of these letters, and she made the letters sound like the actual words. Jennifer, why don't you give them a line? Can you think up a line real quick of where you have letters and words moved together so they can understand what we're talking about?
Well, actually, I'll tell you one of my favorites, and I know my other cheerleading cast members will know what I'm talking about, but I love the IKR, which is, I know, right? and just saying them in the letters and just like saying it how I would normally say it, it's just so much fun, but it's really kicking me. I've tried to memorize it though, because if I say one letter wrong, those captions are going to be wrong.
That was so funny. We were shooting this past weekend. I know you weren't there, Jennifer, but I got to tell this story. Jason was quoting Jennifer's character in one of his lines. And he says, oh, man, Jennifer drives me crazy. She's always DTMT, TTYL, OMG. I can't understand her half the time. And every single time, except for one take, he said TTML. And I kept thinking, that is not going to cut together. And so finally, the day after the shoot, he got it right, finally, and we just went on. And after the day after the shoot, he's like, you know, I just figured out what that means. I thought it was in the script. They said, I'm so sorry. No wonder you were saying it all wrong. You had no idea what it meant, and you were having to say it.
It's not hard to play the character. What can I say?
I was trying to read through when you were going through some of the ones I didn't know. I was like, okay, what does that mean? Because I want to make sure.
Yeah, Jennifer actually has a spot where she says an entire sentence in text lingoing. It's like, I think it's you got another think coming, YGATC, and everybody looks at her. But, of course, she knows what she's saying. She pulls it off so well, because it's like you can tell when you're watching her do the lines that she's playing the words behind the scenes in her head, and so they're really coming off well on film. So I'm real happy with the casting on that to get a really smart actress to know how to incorporate the text linguing with her regular dialogue.
And just for the record, I am a blonde, so that says a lot.
Well, as I said once before, I don't envy any of our actors in this film. There's so much tricky little dialogue they have to learn. I couldn't do it, so, you know, I'll give them kudos for that, too.
Yeah, no doubt. And Jennifer is another one of our actresses coming from afar. I think, I can't remember what number audition this was in Atlanta, but she was actually in transit from moving from Florida, and she came to the audition, had to go back, grab some of her stuff from her old apartment, drive back out to Georgia, came to her rehearsal, said, by the way, I'm going to be gone this weekend, but I'm coming back with my mom. And so she went back down to Florida, came back, her mom met us over here for a suit. So she's been a real trooper having to fly, not fly, but drive back and forth, and she's not missed a day yet, so we love her for that. Thank you, Jennifer.
No, not a problem.
Okay, great. Should we go ahead and move on?
Let's move on. Go ahead, Chuck.
No, that's fine.
Let's go ahead and move on to Hawk. Hawk is my husband. He's helping me co-produce the Atlanta team, along with Chuck and Tori, who are also putting their own money into it. But Hawk's been a blessing because he hasn't said no to me yet when I've come to him with a bill and said, hey, this spider light's $249. You mind if I pick it up after work? So he's been supporting us behind the scenes like that. He's also worked the crew every single day, and he is a character, Thad Davis. Hey, Hawk.
Hi, honey.
Okay, well, now we're like 2 feet from each other, and I'm getting weird echoes, so I'm going inside. I'm going to let Hawk talk outside.
How's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Hawk, tell them about Thad Davis. Who is he, and how does he fit into Six Degrees of Desperation?
Thad Davis is degree number one. Apparently, my character's little tryst with the librarian is not as secret as I had hoped, and well, let's just say that my position was compromised, and I become the first degree in the Six Degrees of Desperation, and I'm the one that starts off the chain of events that take place.
So how, without giving away any reveals, can you lightly touch on how your position was compromised and how Peter was involved?
Well, I was with the librarian, and I wasn't checking out books. there was pictures involved, and I've had dealings with Peter in the past, so you know, I had to find out what he wanted, because it's obviously I know Peter better than some other people, and I know that he's after something. So he lays it out in the line, and we move forward from there.
So your character, actually, like you said, you're the first degree. That's really an important term because we actually showed Six Degrees transpire. After you are blackmailed with some pictures, you are the first degree, but then you launch the second degree. Kind of explain how that happens in the movie, because I think it's not really clear on how we jump from city to city getting people into the movie.
Well, my character, once I've been blackmailed and the terms given to me, I have no way of actually fulfilling those terms, but I know somebody who might, who I happen to have dirt on, and so I call them up and I blackmail them, and that moves forward, and they don't have a way to fulfill it either, but they know somebody that they might be able to blackmail into it, and it just kind of progresses from there, hence the desperation.
Right, everybody desperate to keep their secrets. So how did you, well, obviously I know the answer to this, but for everybody else, how did you get involved in film? Like, what suddenly took you out of IT with Genuine Parts and you said, I'm going to start producing films now?
Well, that would be my wife. When I met Bren, I think it was the first week or the third week, because I was gone the second, but I think the one of those 2 weeks we were, when we first started dating, she goes, hey, you want to be in a film? And I was like, okay. And it just kind of grew from there, since I played a 5-second killer. And from there, I've been in a couple of 48-hour film challenges, and another movie that's currently in post that's called Cold Blooded that I got to actually star in.
Yeah, so in the short 2 years we've been together, you've gone from the actor to the star of a movie. That's pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Now let me ask this. Let me ask this quick question. Now, you're a married couple, a newlywed married couple, working in the fun world of filmmaking. Now, how does that work for you guys? I mean,
we're looking at each other right now. It's a lot of fun. Well, the thing about Hawk and I, which is missing with some couples, I'm not going to say all couples. I know that Chuck and Tori, they really enjoy spending time together. But Hawk and I, if we could, you know, grow our limbs together, we'd be really happy just being together all the time. We don't fight that much. We agree on a lot of things. We see things eye to eye. Creatively, we're usually on the same page, so we don't have a lot of disagreements. Usually the disagreements come in where, you know, we've been filming for 17 hours, and I'm irritated, and he's irritated, and I'm like, we're booming this one. He's like, I don't have the boom ready. And that's it. And then he gets the boom ready, and we're going again, and it's over. So
yeah, and for the things that we aren't alike in, which is quite a few, we complement each other on. So, like, if she's the impulsive one, I would be the grounded one. So we kind of balance each other out on the areas that we're not actually together on. So it always works out. We always, you know, because we always listen to each other, which is not, I know, an easy thing to do.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, too, is Bryn is very strong and directed. And you seem
yeah.
to be pretty kind of, you seem to be pretty easygoing. And you know, that's a great match is, you know, you get two strong personalities. Well, you know.
Oh, I have my strong moments, but
yeah,
I let her run pretty much free with it. You know, because I mean, she's a very creative person. If you were to stifle that, it comes out in other ways, which generally aren't all that favorable. So,
what are you going to say?
If she feels cooped up, it's a bad thing. So it's when she has something that she wants to do, I can see the fire in her eyes and the energy that she's got boiling, and it's best just to let her do it because she usually does it very well, and she puts her whole heart and soul into something, and she'll run with it as far as she can. And so when she decided that she wanted to promote the Southeast Film Club with an actual film, I was all for it. She sat there and she started writing that script, and I probably know that script almost as well as Chandler, because she'd stop after, you know, a scene and come here and read this. And I'd sit down and read it. And we, you know, I might make a suggestion here or there and, you know, and then move forward. And you could say I kind of contributed writing, but not as much as Steve, who's not with us tonight.
He didn't die. He's just at work.
Well,
yeah. Well, it's kind of the same thing when you're beyond the clock.
And I want to say one more thing, and then we'll step back into the rest of the great folks, is that this script, this idea, everything I've heard thus far, I mean, again, I'm just really blown away, the layers that are here with the story, with the characters, with all that. I'm really blown away that you can pull people together that are not being paid thus far to do a film. They bring their A game. You know, they bring a one day focusing on monologues, ready to go, and drive from, you know, one state to another, and have a story that is probably, you know, on the par with J.J. Abrams for a, you know, a very small, un-Hollywood group. You know, again, my hat goes off to you guys. I mean, this is really incredible stuff. And,
well,
thank you. I mean that.
Well, one thing I wanted to tag what we were just talking about with is, you know, Tori and I have a very similar situation, but I think Brent and I are both very lucky in that we're wholly dedicated to this industry, and we managed to find people who understand that and who don't try to stifle what we're trying to do. They may have an opinion, like Tori may have an opinion on casting, or she may have an opinion on the way a certain scene should be shot or whatever, but she also understands that it's our project, and she steps back and doesn't try to you know, metal in it. She does, you know, she does what we ask her to, and she helps out a lot. And I've seen Hawk do the same thing. Hawk's actually said, you know, hey, you're the directors. It's your call. So it's good that they're able to have that disconnect whenever it comes to the actual part of making the film. You know, one of the things that challenges a lot of couples who make films is they can't seem to disconnect the, you know, personal relationship from the professional relationship. And both Hawk and Tori have been able to do that for Brent and I. So, you know, that's just one thing that they should get a lot of kudos for as well. And I'm using kudos a lot. Like, can someone give me a different word?
I wouldn't call it a disconnect, though. I would call it a simple matter of supporting your spouse. I mean, it's one of the things that you agree to do when you get married anyway. It's just that this is a more extreme version of that commitment.
Right, and it's an extension of that belief, and I'm glad that we're able to, you know, hold it together and not be screaming at each other on the set and, no, do it this way and you're wrong, and none of that ever happens. I mean, once in a great while, you know, he'll come up to me and say, you know, I really think you should do it this way, and I'll listen to him and I'll take it into consideration. And sometimes I'm like, you know what, you're right. I was delusional. We can't do it this way. Let's go ahead and, you know, go with your fix. And that's always a good thing, too. Chuck and I actually, since Chuck and I are not married to each other, we had this very quaint email discussion about how are we going to handle things on the set. And we came to an understanding, and we were both exactly on the same page. And it was just like, you know, trying to separate, well, we're co-directors, but we both can't direct one scene because we're going to be stepping on each other, so let's work this out. And I think it took like 3 emails, and we were both like, yep, that's exactly how I would have done it, and that's what you want to do, so let's do it. And it has not been an issue. So we all just really gelled together, and it's just been a blessing that we don't have any hotheads on the set going, this is how it's got to be shot, and they throw the script at the boom operator, and the boom operator throws the boom out the window, and we hit a passing car. None of that has happened yet. I hope it doesn't happen, and I don't foresee it happening with CFIS and Movie Doll Productions in general. So we're really... really
what I think
well
that,
together.
What I think that boils down to is respect. You know, I have a lot of respect for the way Bren does her thing. I feel like she has a lot of respect for the way I do my thing. So if we have opposing views, we tend to stop and listen to each other to see what the other person has to say. We may still disagree and do it the other way, but we have so much respect for what the other person has to say that we're gonna hear them out. So, and I think that's one of the reasons why Bren and I work, because I've tried to work with people in the past and have not been able to do it, but with Bren...
That's because you're irritating, Chuck.
Yeah, I know I am.
I know I am.
I'm obsessive compulsive. I can't help it. I'm sure Bren gets tired of the phone calls going, hey, I got to get these underwear at Kmart or something, you know? So I'm sure she gets tired of that, but she also understands that typically what comes out of that is some type of an idea. I'm usually fumbling around for it, but we tend to gel each other pretty well, so I think we just all have a ton of respect for each other, and that's why it's working so well.
Absolutely. Hey, Chuck and Jeff, thanks for having me on. I got a cruise. I've got Chan here. I've got a film crew going. We were in the middle of a scene when we called in. I apologize for bailing early, but we're going to go ahead and continue shooting.
All right.
Okay.
Rock on. All right. Take
care. All right. Thanks a lot. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
I think Ashley is still on the line, too.
Yes.
Hello.
Hey, Ashley. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you? Are you there?
Yeah. What part do you play?
I play one of the snobby cheerleaders. Her name is, oddly enough, Aphrodisia.
Okay. Now, when you play your scenes, do you rehearse a lot before with the other actors, or how does that work out?
We have rehearsed maybe 2 times, and I haven't been on set yet. I'm scheduled to shoot my first scene Saturday morning.
Okay.
And this is my first time actually having a character. So, I'm very excited.
Okay.
Yeah, she was one of the few, the 2 cheerleaders that are in the film. We both went during the auditions. The whole crew that was there during the auditions thought that they really did a great job, but didn't quite fit the bill for Jennifer's character because Jennifer nailed it. But we wanted them in there, and to have them interact with everybody much more than just, you know, a passing character. So we added them in and kind of modified the script a little bit so that we could accommodate both cheerleaders.
Now Ashley, so this is your first character, but you played like background and stuff like that before?
Oh yeah. A lot of films are actually coming into Rome, and I'm just extremely ecstatic about it. I want to get involved in everything that I can get my hands into. I mean, I need as much experience as possible, and this is just an absolute awesome opportunity, and I couldn't thank these guys enough for having me.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to say something about Ashley. Ashley has done a fantastic job of plugging us into the Rome, area. I mean, she's got a lot of contacts over there, so we have used that quite a bit to secure certain things for the production. So, you know, not only is she one of our cast members, but she's also kind of a behind-the-scenes producer in a way. So she's helped us out a lot, and she deserves I'm going to use Jennifer's word. She deserves props for that.
Thank you.
Well, let's see. When did you... So you just don't have an end goal of being an actress, it kind of sounds like. You also probably have a desire to be a producer or...
Main goal is to get into acting.
Okay.
I sing and dance too, but I figure, you know, into these films like this is really going to help me out.
Is there any other opportunities like this around at all?
Not at all. I mean, the Southeast Film Association, I mean, I couldn't even imagine. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, I feel like I'm part of something so big and so wonderful, and everyone that I've met that is associated with this so far is just incredible.
So during the process of when you're learning your lines and things, do you talk to the other characters on the phone, or do you just not until, you know, the time when you get together? Is that even possible to, like, kind of talk to other people to kind of get feelings down and that kind of thing, or what?
Oh, yeah. Me and the other cheerleader that are kind of, how do you say it, the knockoff of the head cheerleader, me and her have been keeping in touch, and we kind of want to, like, have our style of clothing the same, because we're trying to be like our idol, which is the head cheerleader. So, you know, we've been talking on the phone, trying to get our outfit straight, and we kind of choreographed some of our movements together, you know, when we talk about Floozer, which is freaking loser, we, you know, both do the L on our foreheads, and it's just really cute. It's just really, really cute.
I got a question for Ashley.
Go ahead.
Just when you're getting into character as a snobby cheerleader, is there any particular gal from your past in high school or whatever you might be basing some of your acting on?
I knew this was coming, and yes. Yes, I was a cheerleader all my life, literally from like age 2.5, I got into cheerleading. So up until, you know, my high school career, this one girl had just, you know, picked on me. I was, you know, dorky. I was not as outgoing as I am now. And this girl just, oh, she let me have it. And now today, I mean, that is exactly who I think of when I'm in the character.
So I guess it's good that you met her.
Yeah, I guess. For the time she stuck gum all over my car. So.
Oh.
That's one of the things that you're always going to find about actors in general and people in the filmmaking industry. We've always had someone who picked on us. So when it's time for us to go to a dark place, it's easy for us to pull it out. I mean, geeks. The film industry is 100% staffed by geeks. I'll just go ahead and say that. I mean, we all have that desire in us to do something cool, and so we're branded, you know, early on in life as being quote unquote geeks. But isn't it funny how life works that later on they're all going to our movies?
Yeah. I'm a proud dork.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't care.
I think that Bill Gates was a bit of a geek growing up, and wow.
He's still a geek, isn't he?
He's a rich geek. He's counting money instead of Star Trek toys, I guess.
That's right.
But is there anyone else you kind of want to bring out and talk to a little bit, Chuck?
I think that's pretty much all the cast members that were on here. I think that's, yeah, that those are all the folks that I wanted to introduce. I mean, I was going to kind of give everybody, you know, opportunity to talk a little bit more about, you know, themselves and their role. So how about this? You know, starting with Laura, what's been your favorite thing so far about this shoot, this film, being involved in this project?
Well, really just getting to know everybody. I really, like, this weekend when we shot, I had so much fun. And we, like, I got up at 4 a.m. to go to Rome. And I didn't leave until 11:30 p.m. I didn't leave Rome. I didn't get home until 2 a.m. But I had, like, that whole day, like, we were just busy shooting and talking and just hanging out. And it was just so much fun just to be with everybody. I don't know. And there's, I love acting so much, and so there's nothing more that I would want to be doing, you know, and so to be able to do this all weekend, it was just awesome. I really just hanging out with everybody and all working toward something together is what I really enjoyed the most. So.
Well, let me ask you a question, Laura. You mentioned earlier that there's a large age difference between you and Chan.
Yes.
But when you're in character, when you're that 18-year-old girl that you're playing, do you feel like we managed to put you together with someone that there would be a chemistry there? I mean, do you feel like there's good chemistry between you and Chan?
Yes, I do. I do. When we're hanging out and shooting and working together, like, there doesn't seem to be an age difference at all. I mean, and I don't know if it's because I'm just really immature or what, but there doesn't seem to be an age difference, and I feel like we have great chemistry together.
Okay.
So.
All right. Moving right down the line, Jen, I know you haven't been on set yet, right?
No, I have. Well, I mean, we did one scene that we filmed, but we're going to have to refilm it. But as far as actually on location in Rome, no, I haven't had the opportunity yet.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. Is it fun playing a bee?
Yeah. It's very fun because, like I said before, you know, I was a geek in school, and I say I'm a geek in school, but, yeah, I wasn't really. I just always felt that way because whenever I was nervous or something, I would, you know, trip and fall down the stairs or something, do something really stupid. But so actually playing the bee, as you call it, is really fun because I came across so many of those in high school, you know, because I actually tried out for cheerleading several times and I actually never got in. So it's actually fun to actually play something that I never got to the opportunity in high school to play. And it's fun being mean to people, knowing that there's knowing that no one's going to hate you afterwards. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Hawk, what is it like playing a, how would you put it, Thad Davis? I guess you would put him as the naughty minister. Is it fun for you to play that role? I mean,
it was fun. It was also a little nerve-wracking, considering my wife is the one sitting there behind the camera. But, you have to have that separation of I'm an actor and I'm playing a role versus I'm a husband and this is my wife. So, you know, it's like I'm easily separated between the two, but at the same time, you know, it's like in between takes, I was watching Bren's face to see if she was approving or not. I mean, she loved the shot, so I take it she's approving.
Yeah. Well, I thought you did a great job, actually. I'm thinking that's probably going to be, you know, one of the top, you know, 10 funniest scenes in the film. So I enjoyed watching that one being filmed. Let's go to Jason. Jason, you've been on set, right?
Yes, I have.
All right. So what would you say is going to be your favorite part about playing this Greg guy?
I don't know. It's kind of, I guess being able to play a doofus, it's always fun to play kind of a jockey idiot kind of guy. Because, I mean, that's the best part about acting is getting to really do things that you don't, you know, normally get to be all the time. So doing that and also just hanging out with the cast, like everybody else is saying, like going to the initial read-through, it was amazing to me to see everybody really was their characters. I was like, wow, this is very good casting. Because I've been on sets of other things where it was kind of iffy, you know, as far as, you know, the people, if they could play it or not. But everybody's getting it down pat on this, and it's great. It makes it easier for you to be an actor when the other actors bring their A game.
Cool. So now, Ashley.
Yes.
What are you looking forward to most about your scenes?
About my what?
Your scenes.
Oh, God, getting to be a total snob, because that's absolutely the opposite of who I am.
Okay. All right, is there anything anybody else wants to say or wants to add?
go ahead.
I was just going to say at the read-through, like how Jason was starting to say, it was just interesting to sit there and listen to everyone read, not only just because of the way that they were reading it, but if you actually sat there and watched them, particularly Laura and Chandler, who are Sally and Peter, when they read, you could see their facial expressions, and they actually started, like, actually, the people that they talked to, they would actually stare at and talk to them as if they were the characters talking to them, even though it was just a read-through. So I felt like the thing was already starting to be filmed right then and there. It was just a great opportunity, and, you know, Bren and Hawk and Chuck all have been great so far, and it's just been an awesome experience thus far.
And I was going to say, too, is that we've been blessed with a really extraordinary cast and crew. Crew has kind of changed here and there depending on the location, but for the most part, we have a gentleman named Kevin Powers who's upstairs right now helping out, and he also helped out when we were filming at the Gwinnett Civic Center, and just there's numerous amounts of people that have been a wonderful asset behind the camera, as well as just an extraordinary cast. So we've been really blessed with just everybody willing to do what it takes to get this done. The people out in Rome, Coach, and the rest of them have all been extraordinarily giving and accommodating to our group, and we can't say thanks enough.
Yeah, and I'd also like to point out, there's one thing that I really like about this script. I mean, I know that I'm producing and directing, so of course I should like it, but it's good when you actually like the material you're working on as well. There are so many colorful little characters throughout the movie. I mean, there's, like I said, this is about 50% of all the folks that are in the film. I mean, you got, you know, Mr. Potty Mouth who's in it, and you got Justin Quaker State and all those folks, and a lot of them are just truly, truly unique characters, and that's one of the things that I think is really going to put this film on the map is that everybody is very, very discernible from each other. So has anybody else thought along the same lines that there's just so many unique characters in this film?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I personally think that there's a little bit of each character in each one of us, or each one of us have come across each kind of character that's in this film, which makes it all the more personal. So.
Okay. All right, Jeff.
Yes, sir. It's been a great time. I mean, I just amazes me just the community that you're pulling together, and I mean these folks are just gung ho ready to go, and I can't wait to see the film. So again, this is Ronies on the Radio, and we have the Southeast Film Association on. They're talking about their film number one in the Six Degrees of Genre series. And the first film is the Six Degrees of Desperation. And we've been talking to a wonderful group of actors and some of the production crew as well on the film. So I just want to thank Chuck Falau and Bren Pettengill and her husband and all these other great folks for being on the show. And their website is sefilmclub.com, And please go check them out. Check out their MySpace. Watch their videos. Check out their the blogs and the diaries of what they're doing. It's incredible stuff. So I just want to thank them again for being on the show. And Chuck, anytime, my show is your show. Just take it over and do what you want with it, okay?
Thank you very much.
All righty. You guys have a good evening and good luck on the shoots. And I'll be checking out. And anytime you want to come back, it's fine with me. Okay, guys?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye.
All right. Take care.